Hello, everyone. I'm Louis Vargas, and you're listening to episode 47 of the Art Scene Podcast. Shout out to Obed Padilla, a musical artist out of Oceanside, for providing the intro music. Check him out on SoundCloud and Spotify. I hope you're all doing well out there, holding up as we pass the 1 month mark of the self-quarantine. I know I'm starting to get a little antsy, but hang in there. Hopefully it'll be over soon. In the meantime, I hope you enjoy this episode today. We have a returning guest, Cristo Oropesa, who's the co-founder of Incline Gallery and currently the Senior Exhibitions Program Associate at SF MoMA. We talk about the work he does at SF MoMA and how museums like it are trying to adapt to the shutdown and how galleries like Incline are adapting as well. You'll also hear us just kind of vent a little bit about living day to day during a pandemic. So enjoy it. And here's our conversation. General, how are you doing? How are you handling all of this? Just the stress of it,
Ah, man, I think I'm doing like the rest of us are doing that are counting our blessings, like doing okay.
Yeah.
And every day just sort of grieving the life that we all formerly broke up with, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's just like a breakup, man. It's like sadness, crying, anger.
Yeah.
Wanting to try to figure out, you know, what could have been done better, either at the government level or individually. And then there's also just like, hopefully at the end of some of this part of the grievance process, some acceptance into what is going to be a different reality, I think, for all of us, like a different shared reality. So doing okay, and I hope that's the same shared reality a lot of people have right now. A lot of people don't have that too, and just, yeah, I think that's what sometimes draws me into the not being okay, is being aware of people that aren't okay, you know, and just being aware of it, acknowledging it, and then still, you know, living every day as much as we can.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, I think the biggest thing for me, I don't know about you, but like, I'm a social butterfly. Like, I have to be out. I have to talk to people, have to interaction. It's what I miss about going to work, is being able to say, walk in the office, say hi to people. How are you doing? You know, and with this shut in, you know, we're kind of stuck inside. And someone like you who is involved in a lot of different things in the art community here in San Francisco, you know, I could only imagine like how tough that is. I mean, for me, I'm like, I have anxiety and stress just from not being able to have human interaction.
Yeah. There was a unfortunate twist of fate that now is a little bit fortunate for me and for us at Incline Gallery, man. Like, Incline Gallery, I don't know if, you know, most people have heard or not, but we've been closed since November of 2019.
Right.
And I think that was the beginning of a big sort of disengagement from my own social engagements, really. I mean, that was the opening door where it was just like, okay, this is the first time in 10 years that we don't have a monthly gallery opening, artist talk or something like that. This is the first time in 10 years that, you know, we're not running Incline Gallery. And initially it was really strange. And initially this is December and January, really.
Right.
February, I started to get used to it, started adjusting exhibition schedules, things that we had planned for 2019. So to answer part of your question, I think it's definitely been an adjustment, but I think because of the fortune, misfortune or good fortune, however the perspective is, the choice is there, is that for better or for worse, I feel a little more in the moment when things are in transition, they're moving.
Yeah.
And like, I was thinking about this one heavy the other day where it was like, Louis, it's like transition is also part of the reason that I felt at home when I moved to Oakland, because that was 3 years ago, because San Francisco, for the most part, all of our experiences were pretty transitory. They were pretty, you know, in transit, man. Like, it was never the same San Francisco from 1 year to the next. And I was thinking about how, like, there is a little bit of solace, a little bit of maybe even feeling of home in the process of change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a strange dichotomy to feel.
Yeah.
It's almost unexplainable. It's like neither here nor there, but maybe that's also, you know, how some of us inextricably, is that the word I'm looking for? Have find ourselves identifying between even Mexican and American, or Mexican American, or Mexican and Chicano. Like,
yeah,
you know, the whole saying of like too brown to be with the Mexicanos, and too white to be with the whites, or something like that, or you know, or whatever. It's like too white to be with like Mexicanos.
Yeah,
and too. I'm fucking that one up, but like.
No, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
We're never feeling settled. So there is a little bit of, when I quiet everything down, a sense of home and things being unsettled. And I don't think that's unique to me. I think that's unique to us as humans, as people.
Yeah, for sure. Well, before we get into Incline, because, you mentioned, you know, how you've kind of been, not displaced, but your temporary, the gallery itself has been closed due to fire damage, not necessarily to the gallery, but to the building that the gallery's in. Before we get into that, I wanted to, you know, since we last talked, you've changed positions over at SF MoMA, where you work. You now work with the public engagement department, right? And you don't have to reveal like all the secrets and like what behind the scenes programming, whatever. But but in general, you know, the museum is also closed, right? And what can you say? A department like the public engagement department, where you know you're supposed to help with programming and community like connections and outreach with the museum. You know, what can the museum do during a time like this?
That's a great question. I think it's a question that, like, I'm not going to dodge your question at all, but I do want to initially answer by saying, like, it's a question that is it's a national question.
Yeah, for sure.
From coast to coast and everything in between, you know, museums are being looked to, even though we're not performing surgeries on site, even though we're not, you know, quote-unquote essential businesses physically, mm-hmm. We are essential in the sort of procurement and like presentation of and representation of quote-unquote culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely a new feel. It's all, you know, it definitely was a transition going between a service department in servitude to the entire institution, and that was in operations, whether that was we were painting the building every Wednesday, whether we were servicing somebody in the offices with some kind of, you know, task, or we're assisting in some sort of infrastructure upgrade happening in any of our, you know, 5-6 sort of buildings that we had under us as operations, to really marrying a life of my two different lives of programming and also programming at a community and gallery level,
mm-hmm.
and then programming and being seen and recognized within a larger sort of institution level.
Yeah.
And it, you know, what that's been like, I think is also to answer the other question of sort of what role, maybe the question is, what role do museums play? You know, we're not performing surgeries, but in the end, I like to zoom out and ask the question, like, what do we perform? What function do we perform? And maybe we do cultural surgeries. Like, there's different ways to cope with tragedies. And I do strongly believe that at the time right now that we're in the positions that I and yourself find ourselves in, we have, like, an opportunity to be part of some kind of change of what that means,
yeah.
for museums, for, you know, I own a gallery, co-own a gallery, for a gallery level, for me as an artist, as an individual, like, everything is able right now to change if we show up and we state our intention and what it is that we want to do. So if we want, as, you know, artists, workers, or, you know, people that are working at a cultural institution, to really shift the conversation right now, the conversation's already shifted for us. Well, you know, like, this was spoken to me a little bit earlier today, but, like, you know, I've been through the closure of the museum. I've been through the 2008 furloughs when the market crashed and I was at the frontline staff. I've been through 2013 when we closed the building, and that's when I change jobs into operations, and now we're going through something completely unexpected.
Yeah.
And there is another side to all of this. There is the, you know, there is a timeline on the other end. There is a recovery, I think, so to speak. But what I've learned is that in these times of transition, there's opportunity, and what are we doing to, what questions are we asking ourselves and each other? We're further the same discussions that we've been having culturally already, outside and inside of it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I answered that question just right, but.
No, that was good.
It's sort of chipping away, right? Like, yeah. There's so many unknowns.
That right. It's like, and like you mentioned, it's not just as of MoMA. Like, that, like it's a national question. I think every institution is dealing with
that. I actually contacted somebody that you had interviewed on your podcast before, Latinas in Museums. Tell me her name again.
Oh, Karen Vidango.
Yes. So I just sent a quick message and I reached out because I'm so interested in this question myself.
Yeah.
And identifying how others are feeling about it, checking in.
Yeah.
It's definitely been a whirlwind of don't know, but, you know, what I would like is to program things in a way where we are able to connect and find community. Like, that's always been sort of like within, that's embedded in the fabric of how I was brought up, created, and continue to perpetuate, hopefully, right? Like, I hope that's one of my goals and aims.
Yeah.
There's also an opportunity to amplify and give voices to those that haven't had voices necessarily on a level of an institution. So, you know, where I was going with that last story was, like, been through furloughs, is that, you know, we ramped ourselves up. We closed down and ramped everything up for the purpose of a new building, something physical.
Right.
And a really interesting challenge right now is that we no longer have that big building. We no longer have the new Fisher Collection. We no longer have that large
buildings
to identify ourselves as. So then the playing field is leveled in a way that we all have to ask ourselves, then what is a museum?
Mm-hmm.
What identities do we find ourselves in? When we ask that, like, just that simple question, like, what are we as a museum? And even more microscopic than that, individually, like, what are we as artists? What do we reflect at a time of challenge?
Right.
What are the things that we're absorbing? What are the things that we're writing?
Right.
And as a gallery as well, it's like, what's a gallery? Like, we don't have a physical space.
Right.
Literally since November, and, you know, we've done a pop-up show in the Mission that got, you know, it got put up, and the opening was supposed to be the day that we were initially sent to work, all of us equally worked from home in a way, or just sent home and don't show up to work.
Right.
And so it was like, it was twofold. It was like, that was that second time where it's like, wow, if we're not Incline at Incline, and we're not Incline as a pop-up at Analog, then what are we? And then just what kind of programming are we bringing? What kind of voices are we surfacing and supporting?
Yeah.
It's just so weird, man. It's like so many variables that I...
Well, it's really challenging, I think, the art community at every level, right? At museum level, the gallery level, the local community art space level, like the artists themselves. Like, if you don't have the tools or the spaces that you created to exhibit and illustrate your work, you know, how do you continue to show people your work, right? Like, if artists don't have access to their own personal studios, if it's not in their home, for instance, you know, or they don't have access to going to a store or supply, you know, buy supplies, you know, or a space to show their work. If museums, you know, their tool is the space itself, the building itself. And if it's closed, how do you reach out to the community and visit, you know, visitors, tourists, even, you know, throw them in there? And galleries, the same place. Like, it's really challenging everybody to be, I guess, lack of a better word, be more creative, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and in that sense, I like that, because to be more creative, to me, translates to problem solving. To be creative is to be a problem solver.
Yeah.
Sometimes we even, as creatives, create the problems for ourselves to solve.
Yeah, that's true.
That potential emotion, but absolutely.
Well, let's go back to outside of the S of MoMA, and let's talk about some Incline, and because you mentioned it a little bit, because of this fire, and because you were temporarily closed, or at least because the building is doing some reconstruction work, You've had to find ways to do pop-up shows or like satellite shows for Incline. But the big one was the 9th anniversary show, which you had over at Analog Gallery, right? Like they hosted the show at their space, and you know, and it was like kind of in partnership. Was it like it was like a partnership, right? Did they help put it together with you, or was it just them loaning out the space?
Yeah, it's a partnership.
Yeah,
it's a partnership. We're collaborating, and the nice thing about that is both learning about Analog and who they are, how they're integrating into the neighborhood that they're in, the mission, and also how we're relating to each other. But it was really a partnership, and we'll be hosting Analog Gallery, a curated show by them in 2021.
Oh, that's great.
Hopefully, as long as we're out of our houses, then.
Yeah. Well, tell me about that, because that was a show, too, where it was opening that first week that it was announced that we had to start shutting it into our homes. So the opening kind of never really got to happen. What have you been able to do? Well, I guess like the show, is the show still installed is one question. And two, what have you been able to do in the meantime to get the word out about the work that was exhibited there?
Yeah, I love that question. You know, yes, the show is installed. It was installed Tuesday before everything closed down. And we were actually like on lockdown. That was Friday the 13th was supposed to be the opening. So, you know, the work is up on the walls. Artists made their trek to drop off their work. We hung the show up, documented it, printed the price list, and like everybody else, we just had to choose to do the responsible thing and not gather anybody.
Yeah.
At the time, it was like 50 or more people. We definitely would have brought in more people than not. And so, you know, it was definitely strange to want to support the same artists that we were not able to support because of a fire.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're in a challenging position to how do we support these artists when we can't physically support them with a place and a space because of COVID-19.
Yeah.
So it was just, you know, and that familiarity was like, oh, yeah, well, what are we doing with our social media page?
Yeah.
How do we re-engage that? And I think an ironic thing personally for me was that leading up to December of 2019, I was really into, actually, this is funny, the Analog approach to everything. You know, folk photographers, you know, hold on to film camera, like Paul Clifton held on to film when he recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And like architects that still do drawings, hold on to doing drawings. I started to feel disconnected using technology and the internet as a medium. And that was the strangest irony, I think, has been when that tortilla flipped itself. It was like, oh, this is the one lifeline that we have to connect to other people.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're finding ways to answer, to back to your question, and to answer it is find ways to support the artist now in a digital realm is to bring storytelling to our Instagram stories, to bring the life, sort of the personality of either the artist and send that across digital platforms, or personality and the life of the artist themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Something to tell the story of giving visibility to each other as creatives.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and to be honest, Louis, we're still figuring that out. I think everybody is. It's like, it's hard to work within the confines of the medium of TV, a screen. Like mm-hmm. how people are experiencing this, and like makes me smile when I think of how fun, ridiculous, and informative public access TV was.
Yeah.
You know, years 91 to, you know, 2001.
Yeah.
Like public access was shit. It was weird. It was somebody being in their bathtub with some black light behind them playing some music video, whatever, you know, how people got down.
Right.
I think it is. In hindsight, some strength in that sort of fluxus approach to just like engaging and enacting different things.
Yeah. So aside from the show, the 9th anniversary show at Analog, are you as the, you know, as the person running one of the people running Incline Gallery, do you have any plans to try and do something? Because, you know, we don't know when this is going to end, right, at this point. And so let's say it like goes through the summer, do you guys have a contingency plan of like, you know, to continue to do some type of programming for Incline Gallery in that time?
Like if there's a future where we return physically to the building this summer, you
mean? Yeah. Like if we still don't have access to the building. Yeah. Right. Right. If we don't, like if the quarantine still continues towards through the end of the summer.
Yeah. I mean, I think now we're just, you know, flowing into where everybody's going into and creating an online gallery. The difficulty with that is connectivity to the art itself.
Right.
To the physicality of the,
yeah.
To the experience mm-hmm. of walking into and experiencing, you know, Incline Gallery as it is, unique a space.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the problem to solve. How do we connect people to an experience digitally?
Mm-hmm.
How do we, I mean, we live in the center of tech world on the West Coast. How do we connect tools that have advanced technologically, either through companies that, you know, are using, Google is using tools that artists can pick up and, you know, they could give them permission to engage with that sort of tool, that new digital tool.
Yeah.
Like how are we zooming out and looking at the bigger picture in order to freely, creatively express ourselves?
Mm, yeah.
What resources do we have? And that's, I think it, that's also, that's a great opportunity because it's one that comes for sort of relationship building, you know, groundswell sort of businesses finding their way to help each other. How could we, for example, have an augmented reality version of Incline Gallery? Like, what if you could actually put your phone like Google Street View and walk through, you know, different experiences, different, you know, different presentations of it.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
You know, we have contingency plans. If we're not open by the summer, we're going to find a way to support each other, give visibility to each other, and find ways to pay artists and find ways to distribute money to people that are making things right now.
Yeah.
Then also, we opened physically. This we were also awarded the Alternative Exposure Grant. And so we have an exhibition schedule that we've had to rework.
Yeah.
But we definitely have our priority that once we reopen, in order to balance sort of good experience between what we need to do,
mm-hmm.
for example, presenting our alternative exposure sort of awards through our exhibitions, and also responding to what we're going through right now and programming, reflecting that. So, still a balance. Like, we have to continue our program. But we also have to stop and we have to pause and we have to reflect. We have to zoom out, just reflect with each other and like welcome each other to each other's space.
You know, it's interesting because I keep hearing about how one of the side effects of this whole thing is that even if, let's say, we did open next month, it's not like overnight we'll get visitors to all these different locations, right? Like all these, like a museum or gallery, because people are still going to be kind of scared to go out or whatever, catch the coronavirus. But I kind of feel like when this is all over, I think we're all going to appreciate much more the precious art spaces that we have in the city. You know, I feel like people will, you know, as long as all these spaces like Incline and museums like SFMOMA are able to still keep engaged with their audience during this time, I think all of us are going, the more we're engaged, the more we're going to like yearn for the days that we're able to walk into the building. And I feel like that's like the most important thing, is that we find a way to continue to stay engaged, you know, whether it's being creative, like all the ideas that you were saying right now. But I keep thinking about that all the time. It's like the popular question I keep asking, like, what are you doing? Like, are you live tweeting this? Are you like live Instagramming? Like, what are you guys doing to keep engaged?
Yeah, what's up? You on Twitch?
Yeah.
Actually, Lewis, have you heard of the Stud Collective and what they're doing?
No, I haven't.
So it's the Stud, the queer bar, the gay bar. It's got a long history in San Francisco.
Yeah, very historical.
The Stud's putting on drag shows at midnight on Saturday.
Are they really? Like
they're excellent. They're really good.
Are they like live, like putting them live on the internet and stuff, or?
Yeah. So you could tune in. You don't have to stay up late outside of your bedroom. So you could, be in your PJs, or you could be dressed up too.
Mm-hmm.
it's finding those nuggets and finding how. I think a good question to ask ourselves right now is, how is life thriving right now?
Yeah.
For example, Pachamama, or the Earth, Mother Earth, is thriving in a way,
mm-hmm.
With a lot less cars driving around.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I keep saw a meme the other day that said, like, it's almost like, and this isn't me, I'm not quoting, this isn't me saying this, but it's like, it's almost like Mother Nature sent us to our room to make us think about what we've done.
Yeah, well, I keep hearing stories about how there's less pollution in the air in, like, Los Angeles, how the air is, like, all the sky is all of a sudden clearer than usual.
In L.A.?
In L.A., yeah.
What? That's crazy. Man.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Imagine that in L.A. with no haze, no smog.
And no smog.
Damn, that's like plein air opportunity right there. Like, bring out your easels and paint, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. And then, it's a hard question to ask, is where is life thriving? Because with all sensitivity to where it's not thriving, and, the epicenters of where life is ending, and, we all know nurses, we all know doctors and essential workers. Like, my pops is a garbage man. He's still going to work to pick up people's trash in San Francisco.
Yeah.
It's also, I don't say it lightly when I ask the question, where is life thriving? Because with the same breath, it's an acknowledgement of somewhere life is not thriving. But if we're looking towards the future, if we're, maybe there is a future, but like if we're looking at something that is better than right now,
mm-hmm.
that it's just such a refreshing breath of fresh air to sort of take in and say, cool. What would you be doing right now, Lucas, if you were not here recording this? So it's Wednesday, it's 5:05. What would you be doing normally today?
Funny enough, I'd probably be at the gym. Which I really do miss. Let me tell you, trying to exercise in my one bedroom apartment that has hardwood floors is not exactly like the funnest thing to do. And I don't have weights, because you can't just slam weights on the ground on like a hardwood floor or anything, right? Like, I miss having like a space where I can go run on a treadmill, lift weights, or like do something that's not damaging my apartment.
And like burpees so that your neighbors downstairs won't.
Yeah. Like, it's things that I don't like. It's funny, because I think when I was able to go to the gym, I would complain about, I'd rather be home, and now I'm trying to do things that I would normally do in other spaces outside of my apartment, and trying to do it all in the same place. It's like, this is just not fun. But I mean, yeah, that's one of the things. I think the other thing I would love to do is, me and my wife like to go out to dinner or something, or get a drink. And, my poor wife, who's pregnant, she can't drink anyways, but, and we can't even just go out to dinner,
That's wild, man.
Yeah. And the other thing is too, you spend most of the day, if you're not working from home, you're having to, what else are you going to entertain yourself? You're watching TV. And so then when it hits 7:00, when you want to watch a show, you kind of are burnt out a little bit on TV and you don't know what else to do.
Oh, well, also major congratulations also.
Thank you. Yeah. That's the other side projects I've been working on, is slowly trying to get ready for this child to come into the world, and like build furniture and like put removable wallpaper in the corner of our apartment that the baby's going to be in. And
yeah, that's awesome, man.
Well, what are you doing to keep, what about you? What are you doing to keep yourself occupied? I think the few times I've like video chatted with you, like I just see your bedroom all the time. And so I'm curious, are you stuck in your room all the time, or you're able to at least find something to do in that house?
Yeah. I am keeping myself busy. I'm blessed. I'm grateful, and I'm lucky. I'm one of the folks that's still working from home full time at SF Moment. So most of my day is actually relatively the same, in the sense of going into meetings, speaking with curators, speaking with artists, speaking with my team. So 9 to 5 is pretty much working from home.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting. It's been actually some flowers, some things that have flowered from things. It's like, it's always interesting to see somebody's home. Like right now, I've got a Musée painting behind me. You've got a Musée painting behind you.
I do.
You know, we're able to see each other's homes. We're like, oh, nice collection. Like that's dope. I like that frame.
Yeah.
Or you showing each other's pets. Like, I love when my friend Stella brings me her cat. And it's just like, look, it's good. It's like this big, black, fluffy cat.
Right.
Or people sharing their plants in their home. It's tight. Like, I got plants. Like, oh, wow, I used to have that plant. But
yeah.
Murdered it.
Yeah.
So I'm keeping myself busy also with gardening, playing guitar. R.I.P. to John Prine, who died on the 7th.
All right.
American legend right there, songwriter. I've been digitally painting on my iPad, but I haven't really moved my painting studio home. And the next step, I think now it's taken about 3 or 4 weeks, 3.5 weeks to just be accustomed to a different environment, a home environment.
Yeah.
So what you were saying, like I miss being at the gym where you get like work yourself. Like your heart rate's up, you're sweating, and you feel good.
Yeah,
getting that energy out, and that's I think one of the strangest things to not feel is sort of being confined in a way. And you know, I'm not just in my room. I know you know we've been on video chat a bunch, and I do have a laptop, and I also have my like at home my desktop at home, and I try to make my room also. That's been another thing I've been doing is sort of making the room really that. That we all want our rooms to be, but never get to do touch up, rehanging the art. Like I moved all the art that's behind me right now. You can see it in the video, but you can't see it on this podcast.
Yeah,
but just moving things, balance, finding balances, I think is a key theme. And then I think, man, like you know, I was in the joke. I was like, man, you know, I believe they took away sort of exercise things for people that are incarcerated.
Yeah.
In the prison industrial complex.
Right.
But people still exercise.
Right.
And you know, there's like prison, there's incarcerated rift, there's like you yoked, right? Like you have to keep a regimented sort of approach to it.
Right.
And I've been thinking, I've been looking at my room. I visited San Quentin Penitentiary. I was lucky enough to be let in through their doors and meet their muralists and visit their artist studio. And I think we met over 32 artists. It was a great experience, man. It was beautiful. It was also eye-opening, and it was soul-opening, spirit-awakening to connect with people that I had no real sort of, I had no understanding of what their life was like, who they were, and then to go and see them live in their studio, walk around with us, talk to us, people, like, felons are people, you know, people that have been convicted are people that have, even people that have committed bad crimes are still people in the end, right? Like,
right.
Walked us into one of their cells, and their cell wasn't much bigger than my queen-size bed. And so there's some perspective for me from here, and that's also why I wanted to find balance in my room. It's also visiting for their cells. It's like their space is curated in there. I mean, they where everything is, everything goes, and if you have a cellmate, like, you better know where everything goes with each other and establish some sort of like rapport with each other and have it together.
Yeah.
So I look at this room and I'm counting my blessings on like, you know, it's a bigger cell, but even people that are incarcerated find ways to connect and build bridges outward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether that's through the Ear Hustle podcast, whether that's through their art program, whether that's through the Marin Shakespeare Company acting,
mm-hmm.
right? Like the worst case scenario, we have the capacity to creatively express ourselves, to connect with each other, even if it's not creatively. We have the capacity to do that in a way that some people don't have that privilege right now. And I keep trying to remind myself of that perspective. Even people in the justice system, that, like attorneys have to go in. People are still getting arrested.
Yeah. That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
And the system is still churning. itself for profit, and that's
it's a good perspective to have, that it could be worse for us. As like, you know, we're lucky this is also happening at a time where we can be creative too, in terms of, you know, like we have the internet access, we have social media, like we can still talk to friends through online, right? Which I don't think that's everywhere in the world, you know, I don't think that's accessible to everybody in the world, but luckily for us in this country, like it's pretty accessible. So we're fortunate for that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on, dude. Appreciate it. Always love talking to you, whether it's at work or on this podcast. But yeah.
Yeah, man. It's always a pleasure, Lewis. It's good to see you. It's good to hear from you. Congratulations again on becoming a papa coming up, man.
Thanks, man. All right.
And let me know if you need anything, man.
We'll do.
Community, just reach out. You know, we never know what we could provide each other on our paths.
Yeah.
Because we sometimes are afraid to ask. If you ever need anything, holler.
All right, man. Thanks.
Thanks, Lewis, bro.
All right.
Talk to you.
All right. That's it for today. Thanks for listening, and thanks again to Cristo for coming on. Be sure to follow SFMOMA on Instagram and see what they are up to during the shutdown, and be sure to visit inclinegallerysf.com to learn more about the gallery and the programming they do. Lastly, visit the podcast website at artscenepc.com, where you can listen to past episodes and see images of the work our guests do. All right, till next time, everyone.